by. Good day, and welcome to today's webcast on preview of IBM's Asset Management Portfolio 7. Today's first presenter is Tom Davis, who will be introducing the other presenters later in the call. As a reminder for today's call, the contents of this webcast session are IBM confidential, shared under the terms of the IBM Reseller Agreement or similar disclosure agreements you have with IBM. The information shared in this webcast is for informational purposes only. As a reminder, today's call is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the call over to Mr. Tom Davis. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Paul. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening for our partners who are calling in from all over the world. If you could take a look at the second page in this call, it's important for you to understand that we're able to provide this to you earlier than some of our announcement dates, and that you're under disclosure as part of your agreement with IBM. We'd like you not to share this with folks outside of your organizations. And this is for informational purposes only. This is not a commitment in any way, shape, or form around what will be included in the product. And as you know, today we will focus on the product. We will not focus on terms and conditions, pricing, or availability. So with that said, let me get started. My name is Tom Davis. I'm your global business partner leader worldwide for the asset management solutions that came over when we acquired MRO. That includes Service Request Manager, Tivoli Asset Management for IT, and our EAM solution, Maximo Asset Management. So that'll be the scope of what we continue today. Let me introduce some of the players who are here. Some are presenting. Some will be available during the Q&A, which we hope to get to because we've got a fair amount of content today. We've got Don Busick with us, who heads up the product strategy for Maximo, and he'll cover a good set of content here. Then we have Norm Peterson, who is the market manager for Service Request Manager, and with him is Pandian Artarajan, who is the product manager for Service Request Manager. We also have Gabby Zierveld, who will speak about Tivoli Asset Management for IT, and with her is Tim McCrimmon, who is the product manager for TAMIT. So I think we've got a good lineup of folks. The objective for today's call is really to preview the next release of our asset management portfolio. Many of you have asked for this, and we're really excited to be able to show what we think will be a very compelling package of solutions to further yours and our business success. So this call, as I've stated earlier, so consider this during the Q&A, will really focus on product, feature, function, as well as our architecture and directions. The call to action for this is really, I can't commit enough to you to continue selling version 6.2, which is on the truck today. What I'd like you to leverage out of this is really to utilize this information to better position your opportunities to beat the competition and plan out your implementation efforts more effectively. So look for more information after today. So what happens after today? You'll see at our premier service management event, which many of you hopefully know of, which is Pulse, which is happening in Orlando in May. You look for a lot more information at that point. There is a special session on the Sunday that kicks off the event. It's a business partner summit just for you that will happen half day on May 16th in the afternoon. So you'll look for more information from us in our traditional ways, via the playbooks that we're going to enhance and provide out in our Tivoli Knowledge Center. You'll see Tivoli Talk, similar to what we're doing here, to get you more information and make sure that the whole partner set is informed with no surprises a bit before the announcement. Our presenters have a lot to cover today. So let's get going, ensuring we leave time for interaction via the Q&A time at the end. I will warn that we're going to be very limited on that, and I'd ask you once again to focus on the product feature function. I'll hand it over to you now, Don, to take us through your important section. Thanks, Don.
Thanks, Tom. So let's talk a little bit about Maximo 7. If you go on to the next slide here. What I want to do is talk about some of the key items that were recently come out with and talk initially about Maximo 7. So Maximo 7 is... was focused on a couple main things where the business drivers or objectives behind the release, and the first is around ROI. And so if you look at that, that's your first couple points, where one of the major drivers with Maximo 7 was around lowering the cost to implement, lowering the cost to maintain, adding more functionality on one installed stack. One of the second major drivers was around adding additional functionality for asset management, broadening and deepening what is already an industry leader there. And the third major piece was around the convergence of IT assets and enterprise assets, essentially the fact that enterprise assets are becoming more intelligent. And so adding additional functionality across that converging nature of assets across the platform. Obviously, that's a key piece of what we're doing here. One of the second key items is around mobile. And so Maximo Mobile is designed for folks who are out in the field. They're away from their machines. They don't have access to Maximo, but they want to be closing out tickets, closing out work orders, moving inventory, et cetera, off their handhelds. The focus with Maximo Mobile on both the 6X release and the 7X release is around improving performance to the devices as well as adding new functionality. And so the thought is that there is really a broad base of scenarios that end users want to be doing off their handhelds. And that's really the key drivers behind the mobile releases. Now the third main thrust is around industry solutions. And so what you see here is an addition of new industry solutions across the board with new investment in industry solutions under the premise that these are all areas that require deep and unique functionality for Maximo users. So if you go to the next slide, those were the keys based on the 7 platform. And as you can imagine, we're already thinking about the 8 platform and what we're going to be focused on there. And we're actually knee-deep already in the design documents, et cetera. And the 8 platform is focused on two major areas. 8.1, from a functionality perspective, will, again, be deepening our already industry-leading enterprise asset management functionality. And one of the major areas that we're looking at is around supply chain. And so you can see here all of the areas that will be enhanced around supply chain with 8.1. And the second key thrust is around enhancing our technology focus, and so making more objects web service enabled, et cetera, et cetera. Those type of cutting-edge technology focus will also be a piece of the 8.1 release. If you go on to the next slide. So that talked a little bit about some of the key items in our roadmap and what we've done. I want to talk about 7.1 and how it works. And so the architecture with 7.1 basically takes four main products and puts them together on one industry-leading platform. And so those four main products are Enterprise Asset Management, which I think most of the folks on this call have been working with for years now, Asset Management for IT, managing desktops, laptops, all of your IT equipment from cradle to grave, Service Request Manager, which we'll talk about more in this presentation, and CCMDB, your change configuration management, all of those interchangeable pieces that work well together running on one platform. If you go on to the next slide, this talks about how that all works. And so what you see in all the green in this slide is a focus on all of the common areas that these products share. The ability to leverage the same workflows, to get economies of scale by leveraging the same application designer applications and by leveraging the same user interfaces, et cetera, et cetera. And then what you see on the top is the ability to plug in different products across the board. So a customer might say, hey, look, I want to use a combination of Enterprise Asset Management and CCMDB, and I want to leverage those and leverage those across the same workflow engine, et cetera, et cetera. If you go on to the next slide, what you see is the ability to plug in all of those components across the top, again, running on one common platform, one unified platform, which lowers your cost of investment, lowers your cost of implementation, of integration, increases the ability to maintain your software stack, et cetera, because all of those different modules are running on one solution. So that, in essence, is our 7.1 platform, the ability to run all of these key pieces of solutions across one unified platform. If you go on to the next slide, slide 10, I want to start talking about the key functionality that we're coming out with in 7. So this is driven by our customer demand and what customers are saying they want in terms of functionality. Now, I'm not going to talk about all of the functionality that's available in 7, just some key pieces that that we feel you'd like to hear about. The first piece of that is around conditional and dynamic security. And so the scenarios that we're hearing are around the ability to provide conditional access to applications and to data. So you've got an electrician who should only see the asset application on the third Thursday of the month when it's the second shift and when they're the primary for that site. And so it's the ability to set up those types of conditions and rules and provide access to data and applications based on the conditions that make sense to your business. And so historically in past systems, we would have cloned applications in 6 and we would have set up different workflows in 6. With 7, it's all based on condition rules. And so you keep that same application and just set up the conditions around security and data restrictions.
Hey, Don, can you speak louder because there is a request for you to speak louder.
Sure. Sorry about that. So if you go on to the next slide, we take the conditional piece and not only apply it to applications and data and so on, but also apply it across the entire UI, attributes, tabs, et cetera, et cetera. And so you as an implementer, you as a customer, you have the ability to tailor and set up all the conditions where access should be provided to security groups, to applications, to attributes, et cetera, et cetera. All condition-driven, all based on your business scenarios. So when it is the appropriate time, as makes sense to your business, that's when you give your end users in different security groups, in different roles, et cetera, access to different data based on steps in the workflow, based on steps in your business process, et cetera, et cetera. If you go on to the next slide, one of the next key pieces of functionality we're unveiling with the 7.1 release is around Maximo Migration Manager. And what you see here with these green boxes is a focus on configuration management. We know that you're going to be configuring new functionality in Maximo, and these green boxes outline the configuration tooling that we provide on 4X on the left-hand side and 5X and then 6X across the three boxes. We're providing more and more functionality with each release. And Migration Manager essentially allows you to package up those configurations and migrate them from environment to environment. And I'll depict this in the next slide. So if you click on the next slide here, Migration Manager allows you to make your configurations in your development environment, package them up, migrate them to your test environment so end users can test them, migrate them into production, et cetera, et cetera. Whatever the scenario is for your business, Migration Manager is allowing you to package up those configurations that you're making and migrating them across environments. Obviously, this is key for anybody who's using the configuration tooling within the Maximo framework. If you go on to the next slide, what this depicts is essentially the steps used in Migration Manager. The ability to define your packages of configurations, create that package, and then distribute and deploy them to the appropriate environments. So as you're going through your software lifecycle, as you're going through the configuration stages, the ability to package that up and move them throughout your different environments. If you go on to the next slide, Linear Assets is another key piece of functionality that we're coming out with in the 7X release. So if you think about what we've traditionally managed in Maximo, it's been around nonlinear assets, trucks, cars, nuclear rods, laptops, desktops, servers, etc. A linear asset has a slightly different flavor. So a linear asset is around roads, power lines, telephone lines, railway tracks, etc., etc. Things that have different attributes where you care about different scenarios than a nonlinear asset. If you go into the next slide, this begins to show the types of scenarios for linear assets. So a typical linear asset might be a highway, and you care about the fact that you need to fix a pothole on mile 3. And you care about the fact that there's mile signs every mile, or there's stop signs every 3 miles, and what the intersects are. It's a whole different set of relationships and attributes than typical asset management. So this is key new functionality that we've come out with in the 7.1 release. If you go on to the next slide, we've also put a lot of focus on making work management more efficient. And you see here with these bullets some of those key items, some of the key pieces that we've done to make work management across the board more efficient and smoother within Maximo. Essentially, the thought is around taking you as an end user and tailoring the UI and the steps that you do to match essentially your business process, what you do with the product. If you go on to the next slide, Maximo Spatial is another new product that we've come out with as part of the 7.1 release. With embedded GIS, you have the ability to see graphically the locations of your assets and drill down or zoom out into those assets. And so what you see here with those green circles in this picture are telephone poles, the actual assets, and you have the ability to drill down into those assets just by clicking within this picture. So drill down, zoom in, zoom out, understand the attributes of them, progress into the appropriate stages in the workflow based on events within those assets, etc. If you go on to the next slide, we talked a little bit about Maximo Mobile earlier, and it's a big focus of what we're doing with the 7.1 product. With these two distinct portions of mobile, enhancements, as I mentioned, around performance, as well as adding in all these new features to what you can do with your mobile device. If you go on to slide 20, we realize that the system admin with Maximo is a crucial role, and we've taken a lot of time to provide enhancements to that sysadmin so that they have more power, more ability to control everything across their Maximo install. And so what you see here is a listing of some of the things that we've done to make a system admin's life easier managing Maximo and managing your implementations. If you go on to the next slide, another major focus with 7 is around reporting. And so we've introduced a new reporting tool called BERT. BERT is an open source reporting engine that complements our other reporting tools and really adds another layer of flexibility both from an administrative perspective as well as from an end-user perspective. And as you might imagine, we've also added an increased number of out-of-the-box reports really across all the major products that I mentioned earlier. If you go on to the next slide, we know that you want to be using Maximo and integrating it with the rest of your architecture. We realize that this isn't a siloed product. And so, as we have with every major release, we've added quite a bit of functionality around your integration tooling. Classically, we've referred to this as the MIA, or Maximo Enterprise Adapter. It's now called Integration Framework, and really we've added a tremendous amount of functionality here with the ability to do things like launch in context with increasing functionality and integration tooling around SOA and service-oriented architecture, as well as an increased number of out-of-the-box integration points. Integration framework and what we're doing there has really been a key focus of this 7.1 release. If you go on to the next slide, I think we're going to transition now to talk specifically about Service Request Manager. Thanks for your time today.
Yes, good morning, everyone, and good evening. My name is Norman Peterson. I am the Service Request Manager, Market Manager, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what's new in the product. Service Request Manager is our is often a point of entry into the service management suite of tools. Next slide, please. Okay, so a little bit about some of the things we're going to talk about here. I guess the primary new addition to Service Request Manager is the service catalog capabilities. And we've designed this around IDLE V3. So let's go to the next slide. You know, service catalog means different things to different customers. IDLE V2 introduced the concept, and then IDLE V3 brought a different perspective. And, you know, we can start with a list. You know, we can do whatever gradational capabilities the customer wants. So we can do a list. We can have an online catalog. We can support the ordering and then fulfillment of those catalog entries. And to help us manage that, we have the metrics and the data around service level management. That's all tied in. We've got IT financial management, the dashboards and governance. So it helps us manage this aspect of the business. Next slide, please. Okay, this chart just kind of shows the life cycle of basically the catalog. We have the ability to support the catalog creation and publishing of the catalog. We can manage the offering, manage fulfillment and the components. It has the service ordering or shopping component, the order management, service fulfillment, and service monitoring. So we support a full life cycle of catalog capabilities here. We also have tied in our best practice from our roles and start centers, from the service desk, the definitions, the templates, KPIs, all the things that were best practice in the service desk side, we've brought over to the service catalog. Next slide, please. As I mentioned before, IDLE V3 introduced, you know, a substantial change to the catalog, and basically it brought in this lifecycle approach, strategy, design, transition, and operations. And when we designed our service catalog, it was around the new IDLE V3 framework. So I did want to point out that we did design this product around IDLE V3. Next slide, please. Getting into some of the capabilities here, the Tivoli Remote Diagnostics. This allows our level one service desk to do some desk side support. It enables us to do a higher first call resolution. It allows us to leverage low cost labor centers, and basically reduce the number of actual desk side service calls, which is passes on a substantial savings to our customers. Next slide, please. Along with this remote diagnostics is this effort around collaboration. We get to team our service desk personnel with the people wanting support, and we actually do some knowledge sharing when we do this. So it does provide some collaboration and educate our users of the tool. Next slide, please. Okay, the visibility of performance metrics. That, you know, a while back, I was understanding that, you know, it did have a lot of capabilities here. We can configure these portlets, these start centers. We have, you know, seamless integration to the processes, and we have this graphical representation. I had the opportunity to meet with a customer and really understand what this means to them. And they were spending roughly three full-time equivalents or three people to do service level, just manage their service level agreements. So they were able to go from three people down to real-time reporting capabilities and help them manage their operation much more effectively. Next slide, please. Instant messenger integration. This goes with our remote diagnostics capabilities. We have the ability to open up a chat session with a customer and record all of the instant messaging communication within the ticket. So this is very valuable for audit purposes. Next slide, please. Part of the integration that we've undertaken on this product is also to include the genesis. It includes the screen pop. It takes all of the information that's recorded as a customer enters a telephone interface and populates it into the ticket. So we did include the genesis integration in this release. Next slide, please. Knowledge management. I guess we've got a two-pronged approach to knowledge management. We have the Right Answers database, and we also have incident matching capabilities for current and historical incidents. So we can look and see what we've done to solve a similar problem in the past, and we can also search our Right Answers database to get a comprehensive solution to a problem. Next slide, please. When we talked about search, being able to search through, to find the similar incidents, showing known errors, we need to be able to have this very robust search capability to understand and underpin that whole knowledge management, and this was introduced in version 7.1 here. So this is a very, very powerful addition to the product. Next slide, please. Some of the external integrators, we've integrated with the Tech and Omnibus. So we've got event generators, so the manager of managers, so we can integrate with those events. We're not overwhelmed by events. We can look at just the Omnibus filter of all those tech events. We've integrated with Netcool. I think the most powerful integration we've done here is with our third-party service desk integration. We've been able to support bidirectional ticket flow between HP Service Center and Remedy, and basically we can open up a ticket in one of those products and basically close it in Tivoli Service Request Manager. So this is an important step to help our customers transition from their legacy service desk to Tivoli Service Request Manager. We've already talked about the telephony and knowledge bases, so next slide, please. And lastly, we've introduced the customer survey. As part of a continuous service improvement program, you have to be able to receive that feedback. So we have introduced the survey capabilities as part of Service Request Manager. We do the automatic distribution of the survey via email. We've got agent access to the surveys and the agent's ability to manually send an email to an end user. So all these capabilities are now included in 7.1. Next slide, please. So I'll turn it over to Gabby. She is the market manager for Tivoli Asset Management for IT.
Thanks, Norm. Could we please get the next slide? For Tivoli Asset Management for IT, for this release, we have a short update for you. We're not doing major functional enhancements, but this release is really all about making sure that Tivoli Asset Management for IT is also available on the 7.1 code base so it can work together seamlessly with all these other 7.1 products that we just spoke about, such as Maximo Asset Management that Don covered, or the Tivoli Service Request Manager that Norm just talked about, as well as the Tivoli Change and Configuration Management database that is now also available on version 7.1. And this is incredibly important. As you might be aware of, it's not really possible to mix and match versions, so a Tivoli Asset Management for IT 6.2.1 would not work together seamlessly with the Tivoli Service Request Manager 7.1. They would all need to be on that same release. So for us, it's really important to get Tivoli Asset Management for IT out on the 7.1 code base as soon as possible in conjunction with these other products because we sell them together so frequently. As a matter of fact, about 70% of the time that we sell Tivoli Asset Management for IT, that customer is also purchasing the Tivoli Service Request Manager. So you can see why that is quite important. However, that being said, as we do with every single release, we do make enhancements. We always, improve functionality based on customer feedback we get, based on partner feedback. So there are some things we're doing, and I'd like to highlight just a few. We've made some enhancements to reconciliation, so the reconciliation application, which allows for the reconciliation of CIs and actual CI configuration item data provided by TADM, for example. We're also supporting the BERT reporting, that Don talked about, that's actually something that's available to all those products built on that Maximo technology. We're adding additional reports, such as, for example, a report on asset software compliance, a person detail report, a software contract variance report, just to name a few. There's enhancements that have been made to the application designer, the tooling there that allows folks to modify, for example, the user interface. And there's also the migration manager that basically enables a new Maximo environment to be created from an existing deployment with all configurations and customizations that have been made applied to that. So those are just a few highlights of this release. In terms of the roadmap for Tivoli Asset Management for IT, the next release of this product, yet to be versioned and most likely available about a year from now, will have some major exciting new changes to our IT asset management portfolio. We're doing a whole bunch of new things there. So in due time, we will be telling you about that release as well. But for now, the key thing for Tivoli Asset Management for IT is to make it available so it can work together with the other 7.1 products. And actually, I wanted to leave it at that for today. We'll gladly take questions at the end. And Tom, please, over to you now.
Great. Thank you to the presenters, to the partners. You got a little fire hose here of content. But we did want to get this out to you. This leaves a good chunk of time for questions and answers, so I'm going to ask Paul to help us moderate that, so please handle it that way, and we'll try to get to as much as we can today. So we'll take the first question. I'm sure there are some.
The question and answer session will be connected electronically. If you'd like to ask a question, please do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone telephone. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that was star and then 1 to ask the question, and we'll pause for just a moment. We'll take our first question from Wayne Gahagan.
Yes, what are the future plans for Maximo Discovery?
I can take a pass at that, and Don, maybe you have some additional information you would like to add. But at this point in time, we still have a working relationship with Centennial, who provides the technology for the Maximo Discovery product, and we're still supporting it, and still some of our sellers are selling it. As you all might be aware of, Tivoli has a whole host of Discovery products that have very similar capabilities as to Maximo Discovery. So what we're frequently doing on our end is supporting our sellers to give them guidance on what Discovery best meets the customer needs. Because Discovery, of course, covers a whole broad range of activity, and there's really not one product out on the market that can do all types of Discovery. So in Tivoli, we have the Tivoli License Compliance Manager. We have Tivoli License Compliance Manager for ZOS. We have NetCool that does discovery. We've got Tivoli Application Dependency Discovery Manager that does a certain type of discovery. So depending on what the customer needs, one of these products, might also be Maximo Discovery, could be the best solution for them. So we kind of handle it on a customer need basis. But Maximo Discovery is supported still. I hope that answered your question.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And as a reminder, that was star and then 1 if you have a question at this time. And we have no further questions at this time.
Why don't we pause for a second? Knowing this audience, that surprises me, so let's just wait a second.
We have a question from Mark Dan with Trilogic.
How are you going to be supporting the linear assets? Is it going to be fully integrated to the asset modules? What's the plan?
So it's a good question. Linear assets will be essentially an add-on purchased separately from classic Maximo Asset Management. But in terms of how we'll support it, it's integrated into the same code base, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really, while there is unique functionality to manage linear assets, it's really treated as any other asset where you can create work orders on it and job plans, et cetera, et cetera. So from a functionality perspective, there's unique functionality, but it's simply part of the Maximo stack.
Are all the segments in a linear system defined as an asset and an asset record in the asset object?
That's correct. That's correct. So if you had access rights to all assets of all types, you would see all, you know, your fleet assets, your telephony assets, et cetera, as well as your linear assets all within that asset application. The key is that you'd have the ability to also segment out so that end users could only see those linear assets, and then you could drive that linear functionality and workflows, et cetera, specific to just linear assets. Does that make sense?
It does. Quick question on this then is, how does this differ from the network functionality that was in the location key?
So network functionality, like what we're doing with NetCool-type discovery, you mean?
No, just in the location hierarchy in a process environment where you can actually link a sanitary system and sanitary pipes together in a network model. How
okay.
is that different from, and what are you extending in that for linear?
Yeah, great question. So we can do a separate deep dive on linear if you want, but we're actually treating it very differently. There's some key new functionality added in for linear that's over and above what you just outlined. Things around, like, for example, relationship functionality has been added in. So X and Y trajectory, et cetera. But, like, things with relationships are focused around, you know, where this highway intersects with another highway. There's actually a ton of unique functionality that we've added into linear that's over and above what you outlined with what we would typically do on, for example, 6X.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
We have a follow-up question from Wayne Gahagan.
When is this release going to be officially made available to customers?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question. Would you mind repeating that?
It was regarding the release date. Is that correct, Wayne? Yeah, Wayne, we won't be talking about that today. You hear a lot more in and around Pulse for that for our availability time. That's something we're not going to disclose at this time.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
We have a question from Julie Rompello with Projetech.
Yes, I saw in the presentation that one of the reporting changes is that you'll be using BERT. I just wanted to clarify, will BERT actually provide the standard reports, and the other tools like Actuate and Crystal reports, will that be an integration option in version 7?
So with version 7, we start to make the transition of reporting engines over to BERT. And so you'll have the ability to drive canned reports in Actuate and BERT, as well as you mentioned, the ability to plug in other reporting engines, Crystal, et cetera, et cetera. So you have that ability to, depending on the product that you purchased, whether that's, you know, Maximo Asset Management or TAMIT or SRM, et cetera, to drive canned reports out of both BERT and Actuate.
Okay, thanks.
Yep.
We have a question from Sharon Kepsia with Allegro Systems.
Hi. Good afternoon. Thanks for the presentation. The enhanced dynamic security conditions, is that going to put significant overhead on top of the system so that the hardware specs should go up a bit? Do we have hardware configuration recommendations for 7.1 yet?
It's a great question. So like anything, the more complex you make it, the more requirements there are on it, right? You add in 800 new configurations to any product, and it's going to make it a more complex implementation. So just like I would with any configurations, I would say with conditional UI, don't go overboard on all the conditions that you want to add in. With regards to the additional hardware requirements, if there are any, we will be unveiling the recommended hardware, et cetera, and the appropriate stack as part of that 7.1 release. So when we come out with 7.1, there will be recommended and minimum hardware requirements.
anything further? We'll move on to our next question. It's a follow-up from Mark Dam.
One of the questions that one of the things you presented was on migration management and how there's a whole set of new tools that you're expanding into that. Could you expand a little bit just on in version 6 and when you're adding customizations and extensions to the product? Are the toolkits that you're providing in 7 going to be able to go through and also manage the migration of all of those from dev, test, and into multiple prod environments?
So this is a good question. If you think about all the different scenarios of customizations, adding custom code that there could be, there's really no way for us to, out of the box, handle every customization that might come up at a customer site. So Migration Manager is designed to handle configuration management. So if you're using our configuration tooling for out-of-the-box objects, if you add in custom objects and custom code, out-of-the-box Migration Manager is not designed to handle that type of scenario. Now, you could make some configuration changes and so on to Migration Manager to start to look at custom code, et cetera, that you're adding in. But out-of-the-box Migration Manager won't know about the customizations that you make.
Can you recognize it? So as an example, if it's a Java MBO of some sort that is a user exit attached through the MIA, okay, are those recognizable when you have that kind of stream of links between the different pieces?
So you'd have to go into Migration Manager and essentially define the new objects that you've added.
That's fine.
Yeah. So assuming you go into Migration Manager and do the definition of the new objects that you've added and the new configurations that you've added, then, yeah, it can be used to migrate new things, essentially, that you've added in your environment. It can be designed and modified to migrate those from environment to environment. But as I mentioned, out of the box, it won't recognize any new object that you've added in.
Okay, so it's basically, as Migration Manager, if I understand it, looking at the metadata tables inside Maximo and managing the migration and the updates of those?
That's right. It's designed to migrate the configurations that you make from one environment to the next. And so you can then, to your point, go in and add in new pieces and go into Migration Manager and define those new objects to migrate those as well.
And is it also allowing version control, shall we say, which is rollback capabilities? If basically a DB config was done that changed a bunch of the domain values and it had to be rolled back because something did bugger up, does it do version management? Is it going to be anticipated to do version management?
So I think there's two pieces to your question. The first is, yes, you could take a package that you've defined and put that into a version control system before you migrate it into, you know, your next environment. The second piece, though, around rollbacks and the ability to roll back functionality, that's not what it's designed for.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
We've got a question. This is Tom Davis. We've got a question in from a gentleman, Mr. Holf, from Ondel, Ecuador. It states, is remote control functionality the same as Tivoli remote control? And I'd ask Pandian to please address this.
Thanks, Tom. This is Pandian. It is not. Basically, Tivoli remote control as a product has a very rich set of functionality available for the administrator, whereas what we are providing within the Tivoli Service Request Manager is a subset of those functionality. It is not a product integration. It's a more of providing those remote control, or we call it as remote diagnostic capabilities within TSRM. So to repeat again, this is a subset of Tivoli remote control functionality that will be available within the Tivoli Service Request Manager. Does it answer the question, George? I think the question is from George Heil.
He came in over the web, Pontian.
So oh, okay.
We may not get the voice interaction.
Okay.
We do have another question over the phone line from Nenad Nesovinovic with eSolutions.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
Hello. Good evening.
Yeah.
Hi, we are hearing you. Good evening.
Okay. What is the targeted bandwidth for deployment of Maximo 7? Because it got increased over the since 5 to 6, and we are looking more for deployment of, to larger customer or user bases. So what is the capability of Maximo 7 to go via the Internet? What is the minimum bandwidth recommending from your side?
So we'll be coming out with all the minimum bandwidth recommendations and so on when we come out with the 7.1 product. All of the requirements around your environment will be part of that 7.1 release.
Okay, fine. Thanks.
And without further questions in the queue, I would like to give the audience one more chance to press star 1 for a question. And we have no further questions at this time.
Great. Well, we'd like to thank you all for attending, and we look forward to continuing collaboration and sharing our plans for 7.1 rollout. So I'd like to thank the presenters and the partners with some very great questions that hopefully we were able to answer for you. So thank you so much for the forum, and we look forward to talking with you soon.
And once again, that does conclude today's conference. We appreciate your participation. Have a great day.
Thank you.